from the Lord, but we also reminded that we speak of seasons through the prophets and in Scripture, and that we would recognize we are entering a season, Lord, of prophetic deposits, Lord, and a season in time of calamity, and that you told us that we should be ready for your coming, Lord. And we can do that through concentrating on your word and Scripture, Lord. So we pray for Pastor Paul that you would be inspired and that he would reveal your glory and what is we should concentrate on, Lord, that we should take apart. So we pray for him, Lord, and we thank you.
All right. Well, first things first, happy Mother's Day. All the women out there, we just hope that you're blessed today. You know, it would seem kind of strange that you would make a big deal about moms, but number five in the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, so that your days may be long in this land. So again, there is scriptural value in doing this, and so again, we hope that you feel blessed today. We hope you feel encouraged, and so at least that's my hope, my own wife here. She's been bugging me for 2 years to take her to Mesa Verde. Anybody been there? I finally delivered, and I said, well, I'll make it your Mother's Day gift this year. So we went Friday. Fun story for you. My Sunday school class already heard this. But we had a great day. We left Uray, went to Mesa Verde, saw all the sights. The timing was such that when we were getting back toward Telluride, I said, well, why don't we just stop for some dinner? Some good pizza there. So we're there. If you've ever been down to Telluride, you're on street parking, you have to pay for it. So, you know, I'm doing the QR scan, and go back in the car, and I said, Kim, where's our license plate? First time for everything, right? So I go to the front of the car, front of the license plate's there, and I go back to the back of the car, and I'm thinking, could it fall off, like, somewhere between the trails? But whoever stole it was nice enough to put the bolts back on. So, which the town marshal thought that was hilarious. What was even more funny is my tags are expired this month, so. I don't know who won in this situation, but. Come Monday, I gotta go down to the town here and figure out my license plate situation. But I'm glad everybody had a good laugh, the thief, the cop, and us. So anyway, so that's been the start of our Mother's Day weekend. I hope it's good. Hopefully you also got a flower today, if you're a lady here who's been handing out flowers. And if you did, you can see Mary back there afterwards. If she doesn't have anything, she'll figure something out. But again, we just want to kind of bless you. Also kind of different, I like respecting the different holidays, the calendar year, especially Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. But this is kind of, in our way, I did stop my current message series because appropriately, as we're looking at walking with God, there is a woman in the Bible who most definitely walked with God. And so we're going to look at her today, and her name is Mary. And so as we get into a passage of Scripture, you're going to have to fight the urge of Christmas in your mind. Because when we read this passage, it usually comes up somewhere in the Advent series. But it has a lot to say about walking with God. And so if you're just joining us, you haven't been here for a few weeks, we've been looking at how people who walk with God, their lives have been shaped from their time with God. And so, you know, we talked about, obviously, Enoch being one of the most famous people to point to in Scripture, but oddly enough, we're not going to look at his life. That would be, that would be too easy. So we're looking at some different individuals throughout Scripture that their lives have been shaped with their walk with God. So again, we're going to get right into this passage here in Luke 1. So if you have your Bible, you can turn open to that. If you don't, the Scripture will be on the screen for you. Why don't we stand and pray and read the Word together. Lord God, I thank you for this time that we have in your Word. We thank you for all the women here, moms, grandmothers, Lord, aunts, women of faith who have mentored well and stepped into those roles, Lord, to share the love of Jesus with kids all like around this world. And Lord, we want you to be pleased. That's why we're here. We're here to worship you. And yet at the same time, too, I think we bring honor to you when we adhere to your words in Scripture. So when we see that command to honor thy father and mother, I pray, Lord, that you are delighted in how we show respect to the men and women in our lives who have mentored us well. And so we pray right now as we read a scripture, Lord, that's probably pretty familiar with us, that it would not be, and that we pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate for us, and it's one of his roles in our lives, that it would reveal all truth to us, and that, again, these verses here would hit us afresh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, starting in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel to Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive and is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. You may be seated. All right. So a lot going on here in this passage here that we can kind of unpack. But the primary thing I want us to look at today is that for Jesus to enter the earth and for God's purpose to be fulfilled, a young woman was asked to embrace a difficult situation. Think about that for a second. Let that kind of hit you. The primary thing I want us to think about was that for God to enter this earth, to enter this world, a young woman had to embrace a difficult situation. And let's read this for a second here. Verse 28, let's go back in here. It says this. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words. I love that because modern translation, I don't know if I want to do what you're about to ask. What kind of greeting is this? Is this something I want to do? You ever been in that position where someone's like, hey, can I ask you a favor? And you're like, hens. What's the favor? Let me hear it first, and then I'll tell you if I'll agree to that. And again, I love this because sometimes we read right through these things without the emotions or the feelings that go into some of this stuff. And whether she said this out loud or she was thinking it, she was definitely thinking it. And he goes on to say to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. And then she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answers, may your word be fulfilled, and then the angel left her. So, again, we can see right now the difficult situation right off the bat. There's some problems going on here. We know Mary is betrothed to be married, right? And so she can assume, I'm going to be pregnant. And Joseph is not the father, right? And so let's just start thinking through this difficult situation that God is asking of her. He's asking her to explain something that's unexplainable, never been able to be explained ever before. She's got to have hard conversations with family members and things of that nature. She's got to have a hard conversation with her soon-to-be husband because he's going to wonder what happened, you know? The natural thought is, did you cheat? You know, and with who? And so there's some difficult things here that she's going to have to embrace to fulfill the ask of the Lord. And so what's going on here? What is the ask here, right? It's simply this, right? When the angel shows up, he says, can you make room in your life, in your world for Jesus, so that the gospel can get to the world? I mean, that's really, if you boil it down, what the angel is asking of her is, can you be the vehicle which delivers Jesus to the world? Can you be that vehicle? Can you make room in your life? And this leads me to the first thing that we see in Mary's walk this morning. Again, we're looking at people whose lives have been shaped by walking with God. And so the first thing we see is this: Mary made room. Mary made room to do this, right? She created the space in her life to do as the Lord asked. And notice how the angel says the work that's going to be, how it's going to be accomplished, right? He says it's going to be accomplished through the Holy Spirit, right? So she creates the space, and then, you know, she's asking, okay, so how does this work? Since I'm a virgin, and the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be will be born, will be called the Son of God. What we see is Mary's willingness to make room. We see that the Holy Spirit invades that space, right? She creates the space for God to do something amazing. And this is the point here. Walking with God isn't just about, you know, creating space for the casual things. It's sometimes putting yourself in a position where you need to embrace the difficult things. And if any of you guys have tried to share your faith, you know how difficult that can be. And right at the start here, we have a beautiful story where Mary is not just asking to go to church on Sunday or go to the temple. He's asking something far greater than Mary. He's asking, would you embrace something difficult when it comes to your faith? And some of us are thinking, well, wow, what a big deal is it to embrace God's Son? Well, it's a pretty big deal. Think about your own times where you felt compelled to share the love of Christ with someone, but then you're intimidated and you kind of back off from it. Or just the awkwardness of sharing faith and things like that, bringing Jesus to somebody. And it's difficult at times. I had just, you know, in preparation this morning, I was kind of trying to be optimistic when I was writing my sermon. I said, we're at the beginning of spring here, and you're right, finally. Where the rest of the country's already experiencing it about 2 months ago. And then, of course, it's like snowing. So I'm like, well, winter's fighting to hold on. But I mean, that's spring, right? If any of you guys know that, especially those who like to plant and do gardens and things like that, you're wondering, is this the time to put the seed in the ground? Is this time to transplant the saplings back into the ground? And you do your best, and you're trying to gauge the weather and things like that, and then sure enough, a big frost comes. Well, and you're right, a big snowstorm, you know, and wipes out your springtime planting. And so it's springtime, though. And what I love is when you're driving on 550, you're starting to see the grass now turn brown to green. You're starting to see the trees start budding here. And it starts bringing about life, and it's exciting. And it's kind of like, you know, when a baby's born. There's a lot of growing that happens in those first couple of weeks. I think Chad and Courtney are experiencing that right now. And you guys with young kids are knowing that. Growth is happening at a rapid pace. And somewhere in that process of growth, as parents, we are trying to help our kids understand to go from, of course, they don't know these big terms, but what it means to be a consumer to a contributor. That's one of our jobs as parents, as we nurture kids, is to help them make that transition, right? To kind of be a contributor in this life. The problem is, if we're not careful, we can bring that consumer mentality into church rather than the contributor aspect. And so, and it happens in a variety of ways. I mean, sometimes churches are their own worst enemies. We like to have great programs and do all these great things. And so people come to church, get into this mode of like, well, I go there because they have great worship and they have great Bible studies or they have great men's group or women's groups and things like that. And those things are good, but what we don't want to happen is that it becomes all about you. What we want is you to, yes, have excellent programs and things like that, but we want you to be a contributor when it comes to your faith. We want you to be a participant. And so what we're seeing in these verses this morning with Mary is that, like Mary, we are called upon to make room in our lives to bring Jesus to the world. To bring Jesus to the world. Another question for us today to consider. What could God do if we created space for him in our lives? What could he possibly do if we create that space? If we move from consumer to contributor, and by that I mean creating the space to say, yes, Lord, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to do with my life? Look, no one else in history, like Mary, will ever have to literally carry Jesus. But we are still all called, like Mary. God is still looking for people to carry him to this world. And this leads me to a key thought this morning. God is always looking for people to spread the good news that God loves them and that people are offered forgiveness for their sins through Jesus. And God continues to look for people who profess faith in him, who walk with him to get the message out to the world. Who walk with him. I love what Romans 10 here says. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This verse and other verses in Scripture make something very concretely and simply clear to us, that God expects this work, the message of the gospel getting out, through people like you and me. It's just clear. Now, I want to go back to this for a second here because verse 15 says something kind of interesting here. It mentions two things that normally you don't hear, and that is feet and beauty. Anybody like or proud of their feet? Want to show them off? Probably one of the most difficult things when you do a foot washing ceremony. Look at my feet. They stink, all this different stuff. And yet we have the word beauty, right, and feet in the same sentence. But is the point of this sentence to talk about beautiful feet? Or is it maybe something else? I think the emphasis here is that the beauty is in the availability. Right? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? There's a question in there. Are you willing to bring the good news? Are you willing to be the conduit to bring that good news? Because here's the reality. Some things can be beautiful but unavailable. Let me try to break that down for you. For example, how many of you guys grew up going to your grandmother's house looking at this china that never got used? Just sat on the wall there, displayed forever there, behind glass. Don't touch that. I had that in my house. You know, every once in a while we'd break it out for a holiday, you know, Christmas usually, something like that. But for the most part, it was like, don't mess with mom's china. Right? Or how many of you guys grew up in the 80s where you had somebody, an aunt, relative, maybe your parents, covered the couch with plastic? Beautiful, but unavailable, really. Let's be honest about it. Have you ever been on a couch in the middle of the summer on a plastic couch? And then try to get off of that couch? Your skin is like sticking to it. My aunts were big on this. I mean, that was kind of the novelty going in their house and being like, Mom and Dad, why is the couch in plastic? Like, that just doesn't seem weird. So some things can be beautiful but unavailable. And this is not the testimony we want about us as Christians. Because reality is God has made us beautiful, right? He has. He's transformed our lives. He's purified us from sin. And he brought us close to him again through his son Jesus. But sometimes as Christians, we can act like we're unavailable or unwilling to create space. And as Mary started off, maybe a little unsure, I'm not sure what you're going to ask, she created the space quite quickly, right? We read this from her in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. And this leads me to another key thought about Mary. Like Mary, to really experience the Lord, we must be willing to make room for the Holy Spirit to come in and do his work in our lives. Think about this. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, the Apostle Paul saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true in proper worship. Have you ever noticed that the true richness in life is revealed when we take what we've been given and give it away? For any of you guys who have ever done mission trips, you know this. You know, you save up all this money, you try to raise up a whole bunch of money. Kim's in the process right now. She's just about to leave this week for a mission trip to Africa. And you do all this work on the front end of the trip. And then you get there, and the idea is to help out, to be a servant, to give your time, your resources, things like that. And somehow you return from those trips feeling more blessed than you came to bless. How does that happen? Because true richness in life happens in the sacrifice, in what we give away. I mean, think about this. Yes, if you've ever blessed anyone financially, whether it's publicly or privately, you just know the joy that comes out of that. Yes, you use your resources, but you see how that's blessing them. Man, that just impacts you so greatly. You don't even miss what you just gave away. And so this is why Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies and live in sacrifice. And here, take it to the next level, right? We've all been recipients of grace as Christians, as Christ followers. God has forgiven our sins. He counts it no more as far as the east is from the west. Don't even think of that. It's gone. That's how much he loves us, how much he's forgiven us. And yet, in his economy, he wants us to give away that grace to others. He wants to show that grace. Call it pay it forward, whatever you want to call it. But again, he wants us to share that grace with people. And I can tell you, for those of you guys who have the opportunity to ever lead someone to the Lord, there is nothing greater in this life to experience. When someone says yes to Jesus, and Jesus, he understands his excitement to that point. Exactly. Because he says this in Luke 15, two places, in verse 7 and 10. He says, let me tell you something. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Again, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus says, this is it. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. And this is why he says these words just before he ascends to heaven. He says, therefore, go. He's telling us as followers of Christ, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus reminds us as followers, this is what it's all about. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to need to create the space in our lives to be carriers of the gospel. Again, Mary's life demonstrates this beautifully. Think about this for a second. Every one of us are here this morning because someone created the space in their life to carry the gospel for us. Everyone, right? I've said this before, as just a personal note. Because of my mom, made the room in her life to carry the gospel, to carry Jesus to me and my siblings. We are all walking with the Lord right now because of because she sacrificed and afforded me opportunities to experience the love of God by either driving me to church, driving me to youth group, paying for mission trips or retreats, things like that. She did everything she could possibly to put me in the pathway to experience the gospel and the love of Jesus. She made room in her life. Did she not make sacrifices? She sure did. She embraced difficult things. You think she wanted to drive kids? Look, as a younger parent or a parent with kids coming out of high school and college, you know, yeah. Do I always wanted to drive them everywhere? No. I had things to do too, right? But these are the little sacrifices our parents make for that. And so I want to say this, before I was a pastor, before I knew Jesus, my mom said yes to carrying the gospel. And because of it, it has changed my life. And all I can say, and if my mom's listening, thank you. Because it's radically changed my life forever. And so thank you. Some of you guys have your own stories here this morning. Some of you guys had those moms who mentored well, who modeled faith, who said yes to carrying the gospel to you. Some of you guys have had aunts and grandmothers. One of my students that, you know, was a big contributor in youth group, it wasn't his parents. His parents actually started coming later on, but it was his aunt who played a huge role in his faith. And that was awesome, right? So again, spiritual mothers come in all shapes and sizes. And again, we see this. Maybe it's a female youth leader that mentored you well. I had a lot of those who poured into my life in addition to my mom. And they were awesome. And so here's what I would say. Today is a great day to remember them and to thank them and to thank the Lord for them. It's a great day. It's a great stopping point. So again, I want to give you a couple things here in closing, some practical ways that we can, like Mary, carry Jesus to the world. And again, it's not an exhaustive list, but a couple things here to think about. Number one, tell your story. This is how you do it. Tell your story. Maybe you've heard the word evangelism, and that kind of freaks you out. You think of that person who holds up on the street and is witnessing somebody cold turkey. Actually, I was just on an airplane flight not too long ago, and you know, we're all getting ready to get off, and this person, I'm in the middle of the plane, the person went back, started preaching the gospel. And I'm like, am I hearing what I think I'm hearing right now? And this person's got a captive audience because no one can go anywhere. He waited right for the end while sitting in the terminal trying to exit, and he's just sharing the gospel. Maybe that's what you think about evangelism. I was so impressed. I'm like, I'm a pastor, I don't know if I could do that. I know that's kind of weird to say, but the idea here is more practical speaking, just tell your story. One of the coolest stories or most dramatic scenes of conversion happens in Mark 5 here, where Jesus comes upon this demon-possessed man. And Jesus speaks to him and changes his life forever. And just as Jesus is ready to leave, this man wants to follow him. Seems like a logical thing to do. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow the man who just changed my life. But here's what Jesus says to this man. He says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. There's no Bible school. There's no formal training. There's nothing like that. He just says, go tell your story. Go tell people your story, what God has done for you. Just notice this man just, the encounter of Jesus, that's it. He had an amazing time. He had an amazing experience. And that's where the concept of being a witness comes from. I told Harvey he was going to make it into my sermon today, and he's just about to right now. Harvey can tell you, in a court case, the witness does not need any special qualifications other than having first-hand experience with the situation. First-hand experience. Now, obviously, you know, I'm negating the fact that some witnesses are more credible than others, but what did they see? And that's what the scripture is talking about here. When it says, go tell your story, just tell people what you experienced. And so there's going to be moments where you're at work, school, sports, etc. You're going to be able to share what's different about you or to bring something into it. I have a good friend, Dave, who he's a veterinarian. He leverages his experiences when he's got to take people through hard times, like transitioning pets. And he talks about the compassion and the love of Jesus in those moments. He brings it into his work. And saying, you know what comforts me? Praying. And he makes it just so natural as part of his talk. And so this is what Jesus is asking us to do. Just tell your story. So when someone says, how was your weekend? Don't just talk about Friday and Saturday. But maybe you had an amazing time at church on Sunday. Maybe you had an amazing Bible study this week, or a men's group, or a women's group, or something. Or you had this incredible conversation that just blew your mind because they had no idea of what you were going through, and somehow they spoke into it. Talk about it. Tell your story. Second thing here, invite people to church. I think this is really one of the easiest ways we can share our faith. A simple but powerful way to create space in our world is to bring people into our world. Bring people into our world. I used to tell my students this all the time. Invite your friends. Don't worry about it. You don't have to tell them about Jesus either. You just get them there. Just get them to youth group. And then I'll tell them. I'll share. I'll take the burden off you. You get them there. Just get them there. Invite them into your world. Bring them to church. Bring them to youth group. Bring them to your Bible study. I don't know what it is, but bring them into the world. It's probably one of the easiest things you do. Just ask them and keep asking them. Don't ask just once. Keep asking them. And then another thing to do on top of that, we used to do this all the time, is after youth group, we used to go out to this restaurant called Friendly's. Anybody ever experienced Friendly's? Okay, some of you guys. All right, I'll just explain. It's the best place in the world. If you're dieting, don't go there. Because it's all comfort food and ice cream. That's it. Comfort food and ice cream. And you can have both. I mean, they package it like you can get like super melts and then you get a little sundae on the side. It's all one price. It's amazing. We used to go there all the time after youth group. But it was a great way to create community and keep the conversation going. So here's what I would say to that. Jesus and food are always a winning combination. Right? Jesus and food. All right, last thing here. Share the Gospels in teams. Because I know the intimidation that we feel sometimes when it's a one-on-one situation. And I know Jesus knew that because he sent his disciples out in twos. Take a look at what he says here. They called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them the authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey. Again, this is all about relying on the Lord. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, not to put on two tunics, so don't over-prepare. Verse 12 drops down and says, so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil, many who were sick, and healed them. And so they had this amazing time, two by two. I can't think of a better way to share the gospel. It's always easier in Paris. There's nothing better than to sit there with your friend, a co-follower of Christ, and to pray for somebody that you're mutually concerned about. Or to figure out who's going to do what. And to be intentional. Not calculated. Not like you're trying to manipulate. But to be calculated in the sense of, well, how are we going to share the love of Christ with them? To me, sharing the love of Christ is not manipulative. Because then your heart's in the right spot. All you want to do is share what Christ has done for you. That's it. And then it's on them to make a decision. All right, so let's start landing this plane here today. I want you to see one other thing that I think is critical here in Mary's walk with God. And it's this. Mary's reward for her availability was closest to God. Her reward for her availability was closest to God. And we know from our passage this morning that Mary, for one, felt God's pleasure with her. First thing we read, right? Verse 20 and 30. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The second thing, she experiences the Holy Spirit's power in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Number three, we know that she would literally carry the Son of God and walk with him. Says this, you will conceive, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus will be born to her. She will literally be walking with him. That's pretty amazing. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And I think it's fair for us to say that there's something about making room for God that keeps us close to his presence and his voices. Like we were talking about this morning upstairs about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you know their story, they were looking at the fiery furnace when they were thrown in there. And they were confident in God, and they put their confidence clear in God. You see that in the story. And I've always read that, I shared this morning, I've always read that story to say, isn't it amazing when we go through something, God's with us? Just a different perspective. When we say yes to doing the difficult thing, we actually put ourselves into his hands. It's a little bit of a different shift in perspective of not just saying, well, I want to do things. But when we take the intentional step to do difficult things, to respond, to create the space, we are actually voluntarily putting ourselves into the hands of God. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's a difference just to kind of casually go through life and go, man, so cool that God was there. Another thing to say, be faced with a difficult situation and go, I'm going to put my life in his hands in this moment. And we see that. And so a couple of things that we see that's born out of closeness with God here. Again, trust me, I'm closing it out here. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the verse highlights three things. Number one, in lines of proximity with the Lord, the grace of the Lord in our lives, the presence of the love of God, and then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I want to pause on this last one here because I think this is so key to Mary's walk. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If you consider the meaning of fellowship, you'll discover it has a twofold meaning, a dual meaning. The first is this, friendship and closeness, but it also means partnership. Partnership. And so the idea here is God wants to partner with us and empower you to fulfill the Great Commission. And one other verse, last verse we're going to look at here this morning, is I want you to kind of see how this happened in the disciples' life. Acts 1, which Rick is taking everybody through the book of Acts right now downstairs, he says something to his disciples, and I'm going to shorten it in verse 4. He says this, but wait. Tell the disciples, look, they know what the deal is. They got to go out, carry the gospel, all these things. He says, but wait. In that moment, he tells them to wait. And then he says this in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The verse captures two clear things here. Number one, it captures the idea of creating space or making room. That's that but wait part. And then the second thing, when we do make room, the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit comes to those who wait. The gift is that the power of the Holy Spirit comes to those who wait. And this leads me to this closing thought here that I just was talking about. Your availability to God's plan places you directly in the hand of God. Or another way to think about it in light of the sermon series, it puts you on a path walking in steps with God. And that's how Galatians starts out, Galatians 5. Stay in step with the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. And so again, a little bit of a shift. As I was talking about Daniel this morning, it's great to say and look back in hindsight, oh man, wasn't God so present? Another thing is to be faced with a difficult situation and literally, voluntarily put yourself in God's hands. Because that's the only way you're going to survive this. It's the only way you're going to be successful is when we put ourselves in God's hands. So again, a couple things here, closing. We can see in Mary's walk with God is that her willingness to make room for him, and as a result, we see this closeness with God like no other. And it's my hope this morning that you guys are encouraged. Encouraged to make room. Encouraged to say yes. To be available. To bring that gospel to somebody else, as we have all experienced in this room. And to, at some point today, go home and say thank you to those moms and spiritual mentors who have done that for you. And do it in return. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for all those spiritual moms that are out there. We come in different shapes and sizes, Lord, and different places in their life, Lord, whether it be with children or without children, who have said yes to making room to carry the gospel, for the Holy Spirit to invade that place and empower us to do things that, in some cases, we never thought would be possible. Lord, I thank you for people like Mary, Lord, as we look at the scripture and how her life was impacted by her walk with you. And how she, you know, when she said yes to carrying your son, both physically and everything else between that and emotionally, you name it, how her life has changed, but more importantly, how this world has been changed by her willingness, her availability. And so I pray here, we thank you for all those moms, all those the people who have played roles in our lives, Lord, to carry the gospel to us, to introduce you to us. And so we thank you for them. We thank you for those women. And we pray a special blessing over all women today, Lord, that they would just feel your pleasure, the joy that you have for them in the service that they bring to so many others. So again, thank you for this time, and we praise you for all these things.